Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to Marvel Plus, the podcast devoted to all things MCU. My name is Brett Scott. I am your host, and this, my friends, is the show. And today we are continuing our trifecta, our trilogy of episodes with one of my favorite guests, one of my favorite people in podcasting, my good friend, Ryan Fraseri. Welcome to the show, Ryan.
Hey man, thanks for having me on. Just real nice words.
Yeah, they're not nearly as good as the ones that you usually go on like a 10-minute explanation of how great the guest is. I don't have time for all that, man. Just people need to know that I love you and you're here, and we're gonna continue on with this fantastic trilogy of episodes with the second episode today, Tolerance is Extinction, Part 2. And your listeners can get a little taste of my format on your channel, as they did a taste of your format on my channel last week. So the cases is it'll probably be a lot shorter. I'll tell you that right up front. It'll probably be about half the length of our last episode, but part of that is because we did a lot of talking last episode that we don't really have to rehash on this episode. I think that maybe the episodes we've done in the past have been pretty damn long too on my channel and yours. But your channel is like notorious for like long conversations. And that's one of my favorite things about it, but I just don't have time for it. I'm sorry. I don't have time on my channel. But I appreciate you being on and exposing yourself to this format as well. We're still going to go through the episode. We're still going to hit it beat for beat and do some commentary. So one thing I wanted to touch on, though, before we get started is in our last episode, we talked about the new Knuckles series on Paramount. And I was able to watch the first three episodes of it with my daughter. And I get what you're saying about, like, why is it called Knuckles? It's really more about his partner in crime, his human counterpart in the series, more than anything, and kind of his growth throughout the series. But it's okay. Like, it's not Sonic. I enjoyed the Sonic films a lot more than I'm enjoying the Knuckles series. It's kind of cheesy. It's kind of fun at times. My daughter enjoys it, but even she would like. I gave her the option to watch X-Men or watch Knuckles, and she chose X-Men again. So, I'm doing something right, I guess.
Yeah.
but two things. What have you been up to over the past week? And then, after you tell me that, tell me what you thought about this episode overall.
Yeah. Well, we finished up Knuckles, so I think last week when you and I talked, I was about halfway through with my sons. We were done with episode 3. We finished the series, I think, earlier this week. And yeah, it's more of the same. The last three episodes, a lot like the first three episodes, although we do finally get some good action. So you've got some good stuff to look forward to. But yeah,
okay.
I think they call them Knuckles because if they were like, hey, come watch Wade Whipple, like no one was going to
yeah.
tune in.
Yeah.
So. They threw that Knuckles in there. Yeah, Knuckles is my favorite Sonic character, so I was really hoping for a whole lot of Knuckles, and we didn't really get that, but whatever. I'm still looking forward to Sonic 3. Keanu Reeves as Shadow the Hedgehog, like, that should be pretty sweet.
Yeah,
I'm looking that's forward awesome. To that. as far as myself, I finished the Operation Zero Tolerance storyline from the comics, moved into Fatal Attractions, just kind of rereading some of these big 90s crossovers
that we're
going to be covering on the show, just to make sure that I'm not missing any little Easter eggs here and there, just kind of a refresher. So that's been fun. And then
perfect timing.
Yeah, exactly. And then, yeah, I've been going back through trying to get back on that Krakoa train. So I'm at a part in the Krakoa era where things are getting real good. And I'm pretty excited about all that too.
Yeah. I knew you took some time off from it. I don't know if you just kind of lost interest for a little bit or got busy or started down another comic route. That's usually what I do is like, now I'm going to read American Vampire for 2 months, like then come back to it. But, I knew you were enjoying it for a while when you first started, you did a whole podcast about how great it was. and then you kind of like didn't talk about it for a while. So I was wondering, you know, what happened there. And then I guess I'm glad to hear that, that it gets good again. If that was the issue, I read, Hoxpox, and that was it. I didn't read anything past that. It's not that I didn't like this, kind of different take on X-Men. I did enjoy it and how like dense it was and like immersive in this whole new world of what it's like to live with humans and mutants when the mutants are kind of like calling their own shots. Like it was pretty damn cool. I think I prefer my X-Men more like we've got them in this series, you know, hated and feared by humans. Kind of always persecuted. It's cool to see the other side of that, but I think this is X-Men for me. And so I just, it didn't grab me in the same way.
Yeah, no, there's a lot of stuff going on, and the stories definitely go off in directions that we really haven't seen X-Men comics go before. Like there was a whole series about like a corporation that they started, and it's like boardroom intrigue for 7 issues, which is just very strange for an X-Men series. But you know, that's kind of the stuff they're giving us. They're really exploring all these different avenues that they haven't before. And some of it's the whole era for me has been hit or miss. Like some of it's been really good. A lot of it has been kind of like, why does this exist? Who is this for? But yeah, like the main storylines, the main crossovers that we're getting, they've all been pretty good. And the one that I'm on right now is Inferno. So it's like the first big Hickman story, because he did Hoxpox, and then he wrote like the first 20 issues of X-Men and a handful of New Mutants issues. And then he's kind of been like a backseat. And Inferno, this is like the main story that he's kind of come in and told in a long time. And it's like, it's the best stuff in, I mean, I'm reading it now, so I wasn't reading it in real time, but this is like a year and a half or 2 years into Krakoa at this point, and it's easily the best thing that he's written since Hoxpox. So, like that kind of tells you like the quality of Krakoa. I know that it was billed as like this jumping on point for new X-Men fans, and I think if you were a brand new X-Men fan coming into these comics, you would be completely lost because there are so many characters and so many storylines and so many callbacks to the last, you know, 60 years of X-Men. I think you would be completely overwhelmed if you had no working knowledge of the X-Men. So I don't know why they were billing it as like, hey, this is a beginner's way to jump in. It's really not.
Yeah. Well, we made some predictions last week about X-Men 97. I kind of want to talk about those a little bit because, man, we nailed some of them. I think we went pretty far in our guesswork, and I think we even went out like a couple years, like what's next season and the season after that going to be. But what we were calling for this season so far is pretty dead on and has potential to be even more right on if things continue the way they're going. So what did you think of the episode overall?
I liked it. I thought it was a really good kind of like a call to arms and defining what we're going to need to see for the next episode and a half. But I really liked it. We got some great action, a lot of really great character moments. It was fun to see all the X-Men kind of coming back together finally. The action at the end, man, was just like the first half of the episode, really good character moments. Second half of the episode, really good action. Just overall, like a really solid episode. I really love the ending. You know, if this is the second part of a trilogy, you got to end it dark, and I think that they nailed that. So I think this finale episode, part three, you know, episode 10, is going to be just balls to the wall action and nonstop, like holy crap moments. But yeah, I thought this did a good job like picking up where the last one left off and getting us right where we need to be for the finale.
Yeah, a buddy of mine was commenting earlier today about just how insane the pace of this season is. And, you know, it is. I imagine it's all taking place in like a couple of weeks. I think there was one point where they did establish some timeline where they said that it had been a week since Genosha. And that was kind of the only timestamp we got on it. But it is moving at a breakneck pace, and there's action in every single episode. Like, and they still had time to throw in the Motendo life death and the life death story. But I mean, I think it's a combination of things, right? Like, the you only got 10 episodes to do it. Which they didn't have to do it that way, but the way they chose to do it, you only get 10 episodes. And then on top of that, there's a lot of story being told, even within, like you could have done this with way less character moments, way less defining moments of the series, and you could have told this same story. But the fact that they're able to tell this pretty big story and cram in all of this character stuff, fantastic character stuff, and action sequences in every single episode, I'm like, I think the pace is perfect, man. Like, there's never a dull moment. The story keeps moving, and you don't have any time for like filler, or everything matters. And I absolutely love that. So, yeah, that was his commentary. And I don't know if it was a good or bad thing he was saying. He was just like, man, it's moving fast. And it's like, yeah, I mean, it is. And plus, don't good things always seem to go by too quickly? It's like summer vacation. It's just gone. It's gone. What happened to summer vacation? It's time to go back to school. Like, that's exactly what happens. This has been good. It doesn't seem like, you know, 8 weeks of watching this show, yet it has. It's been 2 months that the show's been on. It feels like it just started. Yeah. So, what do you think about the pacing of the episodes and the story?
No, I've loved it. You know, they've got 60 years of X-Men that they can draw upon, as well as, you know, tying it into modern day kind of stuff. So there's a lot that they can cram in here. I have no problem with this thing being done in 10 episodes. Like, going back to episode 3 with the Inferno stuff, I was kind of lamenting the fact that we got all of that in one episode. I'm like, oh man, I would have loved if they would have dragged this on for, you know, 2 episodes or whatever. But here we are, like, towards the finale, and seeing all that they've managed to accomplish in this short number of episodes. And I've kind of come back around on there, where I don't mind that we're getting full sagas in 1 or 2 episodes. And I don't mind that they're cramming so much. Like, that was one of the best things about Claremont is, like, he had a 16-year run. He had, you know, 190 Uncanny X-Men issues that he wrote, plus all the other spinoffs. But, like, we got, like, 30 years of stories in those 15 years that he was writing, because they just put so easily much into those issues. And it kind of going back to your comments last week, where it's like, you don't feel like you're wasting any time reading those. They take a little bit longer to read, but you don't feel like you're wasting any time, because you're getting so much from it. And that's how I feel with these episodes. We're only getting 25 minutes of story, but it's so much story. There's no filler. Like you mentioned, it's everything is important. Everything matters. I'm completely glued to the TV. Like, everything is shut up. We don't even talk, you know, we wait, cause we have the plan on Disney Plus with commercials. So as soon as the commercials come on, like, I'm hitting mute, and we're just yelling at each other over with excitement about, like, what we just witnessed. And then the commercial ends, and we unmute, and we're just glued to the TV, just taking everything in. I love it. I love the pacing, and I love how much story they're just packing into each episode.
Yeah. Yeah, dude. And this three-parter, it's like, oh, that's perfect. Like, to be honest, I mean, it's a 10-parter. This is one big story. And they could have done that without, you know, making episodes like this, because they're all, like, to be continued. They're all cliffhangers, and you're always waiting for the next week to see what happens. So it's not much different with these last three, but just calling it a three-parter just kind of, like, ups the excitement for the finale of it. And I don't know, I think it was smart to do that. Like I said, not necessary at all. Like, they could have been different names for each episode, not part 1, 2, and 3. And it would have been just as good, but the hype is real on this thing. And I like how it's breaking down too. Like, the first episode of this trilogy was like set up, and the second episode was like some craziness. And then, you know, everything hitting the fan. And then the third act is going to be like the big finale. How does everything wrap up? And, you know, I hate to say, like, I hate to put too much pressure on me liking the final episode, but, like, it seems like they know what they're doing thus far, and I'm not afraid of whether or not they're going to stick the landing. I feel pretty good about it, man, already. And I hope that I'm not disappointed, but I'm pretty sure that I won't be.
Yeah, agreed.
All right, so what do you say we jump into this crazy episode that we just watched?
Yeah, let's do it. So we can take credit for all of our predictions.
That's right. All right. So we open up getting a glimpse of kind of where everyone is after Magneto released the EMP. And I don't know if it's a matter of days, you know, if it's the next day, you don't really know, but you see Professor X waking up in his bed back at the mansion. Magneto, we check in with Magneto and he's admiring his helmet, which we've been waiting for all season. Like, when's he going to put the helmet back on? We know it's coming. And it seems like he's on an island somewhere. And then I think the most kind of heart-wrenching and kind of dark part was Bastion, checking in with Bastion as he's carrying his mother's android corpse through the streets of like all these shut down androids in his hometown. Like, it was awesome. His eyes are just flowing with tears down his face. So what did you make of this like check-in period at the beginning of the episode?
I liked it. You know, the last episode kind of ended and we didn't really know where all the players were going to end up. So coming in and checking in with Xavier, being like, all right, he's there. Magneto, after the EMP, obviously he's got his digs back and now he's going to find his old home. Checking in with Bastion. Yeah. Seeing like the sadness regarding his mom. That was cool. I really like the Jubilee and Birdo. Like, obviously they were taken away at the end of last episode by Prime Sentinels. So to see, obviously, that EMP shut them down, they were able to escape, but they didn't get far because the Friends of Humanity are on their trail already. So you have to wonder, like,
yeah,
if, you know, how much coordination is going on between the Sentinels and the Friends of Humanity. Like, when the Sentinels started activating, does that mean the Friends of Humanity were out there too for like crowd control and stuff? And they like automatically were able to key in on Roberto and Jubilee. I really like that. I especially love the scene with Storm and Forge coming in and rescuing them, where you just see like a small little wall in between the Friends of Humanity and Jubilee and Roberto with the rain and the lightning. That part was really cool. But yeah, I like the opening sequence, like no words or whatever, just like, hey, here's what everyone's been up to. And then just using that to flow right into Xavier being confronted by Scott and Jean about how stupid of an idea it was to leave Magneto in charge. And Xavier trying to plead with them, like, no, I wanted to give you guys an out. You know, you're my oldest students. You guys deserve a life. I wanted to give you an out. And Scott's like, that's ridiculous. Like, I'm never going to get out. Like, I'm always going to be an X-Man. If there's any kind of issues with the Sentinels or whatever, like, I'm always going to be here. And, I just loved Xavier trying to like make things right. And Scott's like, no. And he just walks out on him. Loved that scene.
I'll tell you what, the more I read X-Men comics and the more I watch this series, like basically anything except for the X-Men live action Fox films, I hate Xavier, dude. I don't like him at all. He's like the worst. Yeah. Isn't he the worst? I mean, I feel like as a kid, I didn't see him in that light. But clearly he was, and maybe I just wasn't at a mature enough level to see the things that were wrong. Or maybe it's just, our modern era and how society views things. It seems worse than it seemed back then. But man, he's like annoyingly a jerk. And like when he apologizes and stuff, I'm like, don't forgive him. Don't forgive him.
Yeah, no, agreed. So, for sure.
So we've got, on top of that, with the Friends of Humanity stuff, we've got people like rioting in the streets. And because all the power is out, it's like this happens. If you shut down the power in a city, riots will undoubtedly start like within the first night of it. And that's just facts. That's real life. And so I like how they did that. And they're actually going around kind of bringing some real life in. chanting no power, no peace, you know, what is it? No justice, no peace, right? That's like the mm-hmm. the chant of a lot of the Black Lives Matter protesters. And I liked how they put that twist on it, and it made sense. Like, man, if you can't give us, you know, security here, like, we're not going to be peaceful citizens. We're going to riot. Mm-hmm. So we check in with Magneto again, and he dons the helmet. Finally, we've been waiting to see Magneto put his helmet back on. We're like, okay, he's in full villain mode again. He is the X-Men antagonist, Magneto. And then we get Storm and Forge showing up to help Jubilee. You said with the lightning and stuff, right? Storm shows up in the black uniform, the classic uniform, and that's just a tease for what's to come later. I was pumped then. I'm like, yes, she's fully wearing it. It's not just, you know, for her time away or whatever. She's coming back. She's fully wearing this uniform now, and I loved it. That uniform is so much better than the white uniform, dude.
Yeah. Yep.
Yeah. So you mentioned Scott and Jean confronting Xavier, and I like how Scott didn't like end up seeing his way and going like, yeah, I guess you're right. You know, like, this is a new Scott. This is like the Scott we always wanted to see, standing up for himself against Xavier, like not having a problem speaking his mind. I love it, dude. I love this character. I think I said in the last episode, I think he's my favorite character. Like, I think in episode three, when we do episode three of this three-parter, I think we should do a top five, because that's one of the things you like to do on your channel. And yeah. I think we should do a top five X-Men or top five characters from this series specifically. I'd love to count those down.
Nice. Yeah, that'd be cool. Probably a lot of overlap though.
maybe. But I mean, there's so many characters too. Like, yeah, there's so many that they've thrown into this that it's like there might be some overlap, but there's plenty of characters to choose from. So Rogue wakes up to find out that Trask is still alive. She didn't kill him. And Magneto is still alive as well. She kind of hoped for a second that maybe it was Gambit that was still alive. And of course not. We had his funeral and everything. Gambit's not still alive. But Nightcrawler fills her in on all this. And again, we got really good like Nightcrawler Rogue moments, like very brother sister moments. He's taking care of her. He's filling in her in on everything that happened. And we find out, we see that the mansion is just a complete wreck once again. Like, this mansion, just like in the comics, gets destroyed on like a monthly basis and has to be rebuilt. You know, let alone the Blackbird, which we'll get to, how many Blackbirds that we've destroyed this season alone. But the X-Men have decided they're going to relocate to Muir Island. There's a base there, which is run on Shi'ar tech. So it's still operational because it's like alien technology. It's not run with the same Earth's electromagnetic fields. Didn't affect that. And we also find out that thousands of people are dead. All the First World infrastructure is in ruins. So this is planetary madness. Like, if we see a little bit of riots here in New York, imagine what it's like worldwide.
Yeah, you got to wonder, like, how many planes fell out of the sky during that EMP?
Yeah.
How many trains derailed? Yeah, you know, subway, how many ships lost their way and ran aground or sunk or whatever because of it?
Yeah, how many pacemakers stopped working? Like, it's crazy. How many life support machines went off and hospitals went down? And
yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I'm surprised it's not millions dead already at this point. So, We do get the info from Storm that she can feel the Earth's electromagnetic field dying. Like, it's not fully dead yet. They could still do something about it, but it is dying for sure. And she thinks that, you know, by nightfall, it's going to kind of be irreversible. So they need to find Magneto and try to convince him to reverse the damage before it becomes permanent.
Yeah, and I like that they give us that ticking clock which always ups the stakes. But there's a caveat too, because they believe that they can reason with Magneto to fix the Earth magnetic sphere, but they don't think that he'll take part in that as long as Bastion and the Sentinels are still a threat. So now, not only do they have a ticking clock, but now they have two separate missions. Like, they got to go talk to Magneto and try to get him to turn it back on or whatever. But they also have to go and figure out where Bastion is and how to actually stop these Sentinels. Because if he turns it back on, it's going to wake up all the Prime Sentinels. So they need to figure out a way to turn off Bastion and all of these Sentinels, so that when Magneto does kickstart the anti-EMP, that it'll all be good again. And they don't have to worry about the Sentinel threat, which I really like that too. Just a really smart way to build some stakes in and allow, now we have all of the X-Men back together. It's a way to kind of split them up again, especially because we have more X-Men than before. We got Nightcrawler now. We got Forge on the team again.
Yeah. I also think it's cool that splitting them up like this then gives them the chance to actually call them the blue and gold teams. And I don't know if we've got that in the series or not before, but that was pretty damn cool that I don't even think they say blue team, but there is a reference later where Xavier says, like, we've got to trust the gold team to do what they're doing. And like, so I thought that was pretty cool. Like, they split them into two distinct teams that had code names.
Yeah. And it kind of follows along with the comics too, because in the comics, the original blue team had Cyclops and Wolverine on it, had Psylocke, Rogue, Gambit, Beast, and Jubilee. So we get most of those characters staying on that team. I think Beast kind of jumped ship. And then the gold team was Rogue and Storm, Colossus, Iceman, Archangel, who we don't have in the show, and then like Bishop and Forge. So they kind of throw Beast on that team. And then we got Cable on that team, you know, in kind of in Bishop's place. And they put Forge on there. So we kind of got like as close to the comics as we could get to, which I really like that as well. I'm like, oh, yeah, this is perfect. Like, this is the closest we can get to these team makeups with the cartoon, with only Beast kind of switching over.
Yeah, I thought it was awesome, dude. And I love how they each have like their distinct mission, and each one kind of depends on the other one. Like, they can't reason with Magneto unless they take care of Bastion, and they have to take care of Bastion regardless, right? Like, because he's the big threat. So they both have like these critical missions that they have to complete. And so they set off in different directions. Cyclops and his blue team head off to Asteroid M. Oh, wait, we didn't even say yet that Magneto, before they decide that they got to split up like this, Magneto pays the X-Men a visit. Like, they're like, oh, we don't have to go find him. He found us. He comes down and he offers his hand to any X-Men who want to join him. And like his war with humans, right? Like, who wants to join the mutant side? And he extends the invitation. And this is like the big prediction that we were making last episode, not even knowing that this specifically would happen this way. But we're like, we made some predictions about who was going to leave and who was going to stay. And I think our big one that we thought for sure would probably happen was Cyclops, just because it seems so telegraphed throughout this series, which did not happen in this episode. But I think it definitely has potential to still happen. Or possibly at the very end of the series, Cyclops goes off on his own because of what happens with Magneto and the Professor. But he extends his hand. Obviously, Sunspot leaves. We predicted that one, creating a nice rift between Jubilee and him. And then Rogue, of course, who is still so angry, upset, and distraught over Gambit's death. And so Rogue and Sunspot leave with Magneto, but not before Magneto says the door is open. So leaving it open for any of them to come at any time.
Yeah.
So, what'd you think about like the predictions we made compared to what happened? 'Cause I don't remember if we said any more than those three.
I think I said Cyclops and possibly also Beast, because I feel like they've kind of been telegraphing Beast having more of a militant approach with human mutant relations as well. But yeah, I think they did a good job kind of tempering those two back down to the side of reason and the side of good, especially with like Storm and Forge coming back. You know, Beast is able to kind of hook up with his old tech buddy. They had a really great moment. Beast, I love that Beast was like astonished that Forge's leg was still working. And Forge was like, oh yeah, I figured out a way to shield it from Magneto's magnetic stuff a long time ago. And Beast is like, how did you do that? And Forge is like, I thought about it. I love that line. That was cool.
Yeah. Yeah. That was great. No, it was. It was great. I think then also, before they take off on their mission, to come up with a way to stop Bastion, right? So their plan is to play one of those mutant dampener collars, but make tech, right? Like, they need to shut Bastion, because he is, like, basically, he's the server for all of the Sentinels, the Prime Sentinels. He runs things. So if they can shut him down and his power down, then they can make sure that these Prime Sentinels don't regain life or continue to attack, what have you. So they create this collar and they have some trouble with it. Obviously, at one point, it literally blows up in their face. But apparently, they figure it out, because they do end up having it on their mission. So we've got the blue team heading up to Asteroid M, the gold team heading to wherever Trask is. And do you need to go?
No.
Okay. And then it's when it gets fun. So the X-Men, the gold team on their way, are in the Blackbird, another Blackbird that they got from... Man, I keep skipping the best stuff and jumping ahead in the story. But I think it's your fault, because you're like, oh, and then they go off to here. Like, okay. Maybe it's my fault, because I brought up blue and gold team. Anyway, before that, we get one of my favorite episodes. When they go to Muir Island, you get the Irish music playing. I love it. Oh, they're all on Muir Island, because Irish music is a plan. All right, so you can see in the background the original costumes for a lot of these characters. You see the Marvel Girl costume. You see the OG full head cover Cyclops costume. And that just excites me. I didn't even imagine we would see them in it. I was just like, oh, that's cool that they got those costumes there. But it's so awesome, dude, because then the next thing you know, the whole team suits up in the classic costumes, including Wolverine in his brown and tan costume, which I don't think we've seen in this series at all.
No.
That was awesome. Like, we've seen flashbacks, I think, to Marvel Girl's costume, and she might have even worn it in the Phoenix Saga. But seeing Cyclops with the full head cover and seeing Wolverine in his not original costume, because actually his original costume is the blue and yellow costume, but probably my favorite costume, which is the brown and tan costume. What did you think of this, dude? I know you had to be pumped when they walked out in the old costumes.
Yeah, absolutely loved it, man. Definitely my favorite Wolverine costume. The colors of it are more in line with an actual like Wolverine pelt, which makes perfect sense for him. Yeah, I love that costume. So seeing them, even when like they put Storm back in her black costume, I wasn't expecting that we were going to get the other X-Men in theirs. But the fact that they did, I thought that was really cool. I love that look for Cyclops too. Totally makes me think of Pride of the X-Men, the lost pilot from 1989, you know, that the animated series they tried to get greenlit but it failed. Definitely makes me think of that. Even the same thing with like going back to Xavier in the wheelchair with like the green suit and like the red kind of plaid blanket over his legs. Yeah. Like totally just callbacks to that, which of course was accurate to the comics anyway. So I loved seeing that. It's a little weird that we're getting like anachronistic costumes, because we're getting storylines from like 1993 and 1997. But we're getting costumes from 1975, but I don't care. Like, they look so good in this animation too. Yeah. But yeah, I was pumped.
Yeah.
Like, when they're all walking out, I was like, yes, this is the Wolverine I love.
Yeah. And it kind of made you think, like, maybe we will get some great Wolverine action or story in this episode, which we'll get there. The costumes don't really belong in this era, but it works because it's such a great callback. Just, you know, everything that they're doing is just references to any other X-Men, version of X-Men, time period of X-Men. And that's one of the things, one of the many things I love about this series.
The teams kind of go on their separate ways. We're at Muir Island. We got two different Blackbirds. One of them has been, you know, outfitted for space travel. So one of the teams heads up to Asteroid M. There's, you know, usual, you know, it's Tuesday, so we're just going to fly up to space. No big deal. The other team heads out, I believe it was towards the Galapagos Islands. So hopefully they don't run into Godzilla or anything. But the gold team arrives, the gold team arrives. They're able to get pretty close. But Bastion is aware that the X-Men are going to be hunting him down, and he's found a way to build some new Sentinels. He probably knows how to counteract, Magneto's EMP stuff. So the new Sentinels are, they're built, right? Like, he's turned his factories back on. And the Sentinels kind of fly up to intercept the gold team. They're flying around trying to dodge the Sentinels, but there's too many of them. At that point, Storm and Forge are like, hey, we'll manage up here. You guys, you know, you four, you get back down to the ground and, like, take the fight to Bastion. We need to get this collar on Bastion anyway. So Morph and Beast and then Jean and Cable, they all make their way down to the actual island itself. They're kind of walking around. Beast is noting, like, oh, hey, he's going to build a brand new, like, a society from here that would be like a Sentinel society. Mm-hmm. At this point, they're also attacked by some Sentinels. We get probably one of my favorite moments in the episode, which is ironic considering my little rant that I did last week. But Morph turns into the Incredible Hulk, and he's smashing the living crap out of these Sentinels. And, like, another one of my favorite lines in this episode is where he, even though he's hulked out, he's like, Morph, smash! And he's, like, hitting the Sentinels and everything.
Yeah.
I love that part. I was like, all right, see, now this is how you do a cameo. This is awesome. This is great. Yeah, I love that scene.
Yeah.
And then Mr. Sinister shows up to kind of mess with Jean and Cable. He's saying stuff. He's like, he's really using, like, some interesting powers where he's, like, trying to travel around, like, in his shadow. He keeps getting, like, behind Jean and pretty much telling her, like, I held you captive and I can tell you when I took you originally and all this. And she's like, yeah, I don't care.
Yeah.
Eventually they end up in a bowling alley, and she's, like, throwing bowling balls at him. We're getting, like, bowling pin sounds. It's great. She gets separated from Cable, so we don't know what happened to him. Like, all kinds of chaos is happening. Forge and Storm have their hands full in the sky with the Sentinels. But then from there, we actually go check back in with the blue team, who have landed on Asteroid M. As soon as the Blackbird lands, like, Rogue is dispatched, right? And so she comes in, she just, like, rips into the Blackbird, tears a piece of the hull out, jumps in, they're all gone. And she's like, you know, damn it, Elf. And so we go to, like, Magneto's throne room, I guess. You'd think that, like, by now he'd have had, like, tons of acolytes and stuff, but it looks like it's just, like, him and Rogue and Sunspot.
Yeah.
But the rest of the X-Men arrive, and they're like, you know, we're here to reason with you. And Magneto's like, nah, I don't think so. And so Wolverine's like, you're right, bub. And it, like, pops his claws and everything. Rogue comes flying up through the floor. She's fighting Wolverine. We got Sunspot and Jubilee kind of fighting, squaring off, and he's trying to explain to Jubilee that, like, the only humans that he knows, his parents, like, just completely turned his back on them, and if he's going to be a mutant now, then he's going to take up this cause. Kind of like how we were expecting that would be his logic. And so, yeah, like, the battle ensues. We got X-Men fighting X-Men as Magneto and Xavier kind of talking about what they need to do. And then we cut back to the Galapagos Islands again. And this time we see Morph has finally gotten to where Bastion is, and it looks like he's going to be able to like hit him with the collar, because it looks like Bastion is alone in his room. And as Morph is like making his way in, then like a bunch more Sentinels activate. They do their weird like tongue things and stuff, and they kind of tie him up. Yeah. And Bastion is able to get the collar from him. I don't think he broke it. Like, he just took it. Yeah. So I don't know what he's doing with it, but I think that's the last we see of Bastion. We see the Sentinels kind of shoot the Blackbird down. They shoot Storm down, so they're out of the battle. And then we check in again with Jean and Cable and Sinister. This time it's still Jean going after Sinister, but now Cable has arrived and he's fighting Jean. Like, he's using his own telekinesis and everything. Yes. And you can actually see like the red diamond on his forehead. And Sinister's like, like, I gave him that techno virus and I can control him. And so I'm like turning him against you. And so Jean is now starting to get like overwhelmed by Cable's power. She pulls like Cyclops into like an astral projection to like apologize or something. And then we cut to Asteroid M again.
Oh. Okay. This is what we were waiting for. This is another thing that we predicted from last week. Not sure if it was going to happen or not, but at one point, Professor Xavier decides like Magneto is not able to be reasoned with. He's gonna come over, man. He's just gonna wipe out Magneto's mind. At least that's what I assume he's doing. He doesn't announce that. Like, I gotta wipe his mind, but there's no reasoning with him. So he begins to do it. Magneto is in agony. But then who comes to Magneto's rescue? Cyclops blasts Xavier in his chair and stops him from wiping Magneto's mind, saying, you know, we still need him. We can't take him out just yet. So all that's going on. Then Magneto then gets the upper hand, and this is like one of the most badass things I've seen Magneto do. He takes his own helmet from the floor. He thrusts it onto Xavier's skull, which I'm assuming would also block Xavier's mind powers just as much as Magneto wearing it, right? Mm-hmm, so puts it on and then begins to crush Xavier's skull with his own helmet. Oh, that was so awesome. But then the real breakout moment, all of a sudden you see three claws pop through Magneto, pulls Wolverine's claws from him, thrusts him against the wall, and then you hear Xavier, like, knowing what he's about to do, he's like, Magnus, please don't do this. He knows what's going to happen. And this is straight out of the comics. Magneto begins to pull the adamantium out of Wolverine right through his body, and we don't get to see it in the way that I guess I kind of hoped or imagined. We still might, but we get this epic freeze frame of Wolverine in midair with his adamantium starting to pour out from his pores, right?
Mm-hmm.
Epic moment, dude. Like, that's, we were waiting on this. They did it. I was so excited when it happened. Tell me what you were feeling.
Yeah. Just seeing that, I was like, oh man, this is amazing. Like, they're actually going there, you know. We've got a show that's a little bit more mature, so they can kind of go through some of these darker storylines. And yeah, like, as soon as, like, I was wondering if they were going to do it, because before Magneto puts his helmet on Xavier, Wolverine was able to like pull his helmet off. And so Xavier was like going into Magneto's mind. That's when you said like Cyclops kind of blasts Xavier, kind of knocks him so that he doesn't do that. I thought he was just going to mind wipe him right then and there. And I'm like, oh man, they're just going to skip over the adamantium and just go right to the mind wipe. But no, like, then we get the whole scene with the helmet and then the claws, and then they actually start, and like when they actually start doing the claws, I remember just like tapping my son who was sitting next to me, just like frantically tapping him, like, look, like, it's happening. We called it. The way that they did it with like the freeze frame and him being back, like, that's taken from the panel in X-Men 25 where he actually does it. Like the way that Wolverine's body is and the way the adamantium's coming out, exactly the same panel from X-Men 25, which is where it happens. I was shocked. And then like they end it there, man, on a freeze frame of like of this and come back from that. Like I'm really excited to see where they go. Like the mind wipe's gotta be coming. It's gotta come.
Yeah. They definitely fooled us on that one. Like I think that was specifically for fans that were waiting for it. Like just we're in that moment waiting, like, oh my God, here it is. This is it. And then it's like, oh, they faked us out. They're not going to do it. And then it's like, oh wait, the mind wipe didn't work. Like what? Oh dude. And plus I had been hearing chatter online. I saw articles written that would be too violent or dark, to put in the cartoon. I'm like, dude, have you seen this cartoon so far? Like they're killing off characters left and right. Like they'll go there. They have no problem going there. If they're going to do it, they're going to do it. Like they're not going to hold back. So, but I think that was just for us, man. Just that quick moment of like, oh, they're not going to do it.
Yeah.
And then they still do that moment. And then I think we're still going to get the actual mind wipe layer.
Yeah, I think so too. For sure. I think we'll get the mind wipe and that'll lead, you know, next season we'll get Onslaught. We'll get like Magneto as Joseph with Rogue. We'll get like Feral Wolverine. Like we're going to get some good stuff next season.
Yeah. I'm wondering. So another thing that my friend Justin brought up was like, how do you think they'll do Feral Wolverine? Like, are they going to be able to do it without making it look stupid? And it's like, for one, I think you can make that cool. I mean, I think the art was one of the problems in the bestial feral Wolverine kind of storyline. But also I'm not sure that they'll do it to the extent that they did, because the way that it happened in comics is he didn't become like feral right after this. He actually, it took until after issue 100 where they tried to put the adamantium back into him and then his body rejected it. And it was like the trauma of all that led to his feral self. Like, But they did try to explain it as like the adamantium was keeping his bestial feral side at bay. So, but you know what? They also abandoned that storyline pretty quickly when they realized it was stupid. So like, I wonder if they'll even use it. I think we may just see a Wolverine fighting for his life. If you remember Wolverine number 75, which was the follow-up to X-Men 25, was all like in Wolverine's head and like him recovering or maybe not, you know, dying, right? It was like, we're wondering if he's going to make it. He's in terrible shape on the Blackbird on the way back to Earth. And I think they'll do it a little different this series. I think they'll probably have him like in a coma, bandaged up type thing. Like, I don't think we're going to spend a whole lot of time with Wolverine, but I think they'll show that. And I think that'll be probably the catalyst for Xavier. He's like, they'll figure it out. But also I feel like the helmet going onto him was also another little like Easter egg, you know, for like Onslaught, right? Mm-hmm. Having that helmet be put on Xavier. I was like, oh, that's kind of cool. That's kind of cool. Like, Shadow. But oh man, such a great episode. Like what are they doing to me, man? Like they haven't missed once. There's been episodes that weren't as good as the best episodes, but there has not been a bad episode. And it just keeps ramping up and I keep thinking like, okay, they've done it. Like episode 5, they've done it. It's downhill from here. There's no way that they give us stuff on that level. So far, man, it's been on that level.
Yeah. It's to the point where it's on the verge of exceeding it. Like, I think that episode 10 is going to blow episode 5 out of the water in terms of just like awesomeness, especially with what we've got so far. Like, we've got a whole gold team that still has to take on all of these Sentinels and Mr. Sinister. We got another team that has to deal with Magneto. Mm-hmm. And that's not to say all the other stuff that's going on the planet, too. And like, I feel like we'll probably at least get that resolved in the first half or the first 2/3 of the episode. And so we can at least kind of get a little bit of time to catch our breaths. I don't know if this one will end on a cliffhanger too. or if they'll actually allow the storylines to come to an end and kind of show us how the X-Men are deciding to move on. So I think that would take us into like where we'll see Wolverine go next season. Like I think maybe we get Patch Wolverine, and then and I think Storm probably stays with the X-Men. Maybe Forge does too. Maybe we actually get like a merging of the. I know I'm like beating the X-Factor horse right here, but maybe with Forge on the team, we'll finally get some X-Factor coming in. I think we were a little wrong in our prediction that Cyclops would join Magneto, but I think you're right on in saying that Cyclops will probably, after all of this is said and done, Cyclops probably isn't going to stay with the X-Men, at least not with Xavier. So maybe we see him go off, and that's when they're like, we need to, you know, let's call in Alex. Like, let's get the other Summers brother in here. Maybe with Cyclops out in the world, he stumbles upon clues that his other brother existed. And we get like Deadly Genesis or something. We already had Vulcan in this show, so we know that Vulcan exists. So maybe we get that whole backstory there. And we learn that, you know, this Xavier isn't as cookie cutter clean as the one we saw in the first five seasons, that this is a very flawed Xavier, and all of this stuff is finally coming out. Who knows where they're going to go? But yeah, this episode was so good. I'm so excited for next week.
Yeah, the only thing I can like really predict of where they're going to go with the final episode is like, I think we're going to have a dark, sullen, sad ending. I think they're going to be victorious, but at what cost? Like, that'll be what we're left with in the end. Like, it'll be resolved. The storyline will be resolved, but it will leave things just a mess.
All right. I think that's going to do it for our discussion. Ryan, thank you so much for doing this trilogy of episodes with me. Tell people where they can find your podcast.
Yeah, they can find me at Talkin' Snicked, The Wolverine Show. Pretty much anywhere you get your podcasts, they can reach out to me via email, talksnicked@gmail.com. But yeah, anywhere you get your podcasts, Spotify, Apple Podcasts are probably the big ones that I see that people use the most. But anywhere you get them, Talkin' Snicked, The Wolverine Show. I do Wolverine-centric podcasts that I release on Wednesdays, although I'm like two years behind on that one. I also have Saturday Morning Snicktunes, where I've covered every episode of X-Men the Animated Series and every episode of X-Men 97 so far. So if you like hearing about the X-Men cartoons, I also covered Pride of the X-Men. So if you like hearing about the X-Men cartoons, that's a good place to go to get a lot of conversation and insight and just, you know, hearing fans gush about the X-Men cartoons that they love.
All right, Ryan. Dude, thank you so much for doing this trilogy with me. I can't wait to do our part three next week and wrap it all up. It's been an honor having you on the show, and I will talk to you in 1 week's time, my friend.
Sounds good. Talk to you then.